Hi, everybody. I'm Len Wills. It's time now for the news from the Steve Thompson Country Financial News Desk. Steve Thompson, your country financial representative, located on the square in West Salem. The Fairfield City Council meets tonight to consider a utility rate increase. The proposed ordinance comes after aldermen learned last month that the city of Fairfield is currently operating on a deficit budget that has a $1.5 million shortfall in revenues versus income. Now, as of late last month, the city had only $525,000 cash on hand. Alderman Jim Griffith stated at a recent council meeting that the city's budget deficit amounts to between $130,000 and $140,000 per month. Now, before the city considered a utility rate increase, officials had asked that Fairfield's water, electric, gas, and sewer rates be compared to neighboring communities. The mayor has already ordered those fancy period lights downtown to be turned off as a first step in cutting operating costs. Tonight's Fairfield City Council meeting begins at 6 p.m. in the council chambers at City Hall. More news after this.
You know you. You're the complete planner. You pre-plan everything, from the grocery list to weekly meals, from family vacations to Little League games. You've kept your family on track because you've planned everything. Well, almost everything. You've planned your way through life but neglected one of the most important pre-planning decisions you can make, your funeral arrangements. At Richardson Funeral Home in Wayne City, they encourage pre-planning just as you do. Now is the time to make the right decisions with pre-arrangements. At Richardson Funeral Home, your decisions matter.
We were rolling down this road in
Anbar Province.
All of a sudden, there's
a huge explosion.
We knew right away.
It was an IED.
Then we started taking sniper fire
and RPGs from the hills.
Today's service women face the same combat dangers as men.
It's pretty amazing.
We made it out alive.
But at home, women veterans face different challenges. DAV understands this and fights to get women veterans the health, disability, and financial benefits they were promised. Visit DAV.org for free help.
A freak accident in the Bryan Memorial Park Nature Trail in Salem has claimed the life of a 54-year-old Salem man. The Marion County coroner, Troy Cannon, says that Philip Lush was killed when apparently he was hit in the head by a large limb that fell out of a tree during strong winds on Saturday. The coroner reports Lush's body was found by family members who began searching for him when he failed to answer telephone calls or return home Saturday afternoon. They found his body around 3:10 p.m. Coroner Cannon says it appears that Lush died instantly, was pronounced dead at the scene. He estimates the time of death was most likely Saturday morning. Cannon says Lush was a frequent visitor to the Nature Trail area, which is why the family looked in that area. Wayne County Sheriff's Police report the arrest Sunday of 29-year-old Joseph Muckenheim of Mount Vernon on a charge of drunk driving. Deputies found Muckenheim in a car at the intersection of Wayne County Road 625 North and 920 East. Officers said it appeared he was unconscious. After being awakened, Muckenheim was unable to complete a field sobriety test and was taken to the county jail, where he tested .149 on the state's breathalyzer. He was ticketed for drunk driving and improper parking. On Sunday, Fairfield City Police, with the assistance of the Wayne County Sheriff's Department, arrested 37-year-old Christopher W. Melton following a traffic stop on West Delaware. A computer check revealed that Melton was wanted on a Clay County warrant for possession of methamphetamine. In the vehicle, police say they found several firearms and a quantity of ammunition. The guns were seized by police when it was discovered Melton did not have a valid FOID card. Bond on the Clay County warrant was $1,500 cash, plus another $150 on the local gun charge. Logan G. Walker, 25, of Fairfield, was arrested Sunday on a failure to appear warrant on a charge of burglary. Bond in that case, $575. Ralph A. McCarthy, 44, of Fairfield, was arrested Saturday on a charge of drunk driving. State police made that arrest. White County Sheriff Doug Myers got a report Saturday morning of a vehicle in the Wabash River south of Illinois Route 141 in a very remote part of the county down in the south. The vehicle was resting on its top and did not appear to have been in the water for very long. Sheriff Myers notified the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and fearing there could be a body inside, Sheriff Meyer notified Posey County, Indiana officials for a dive team to investigate the incident further. Dive teams from Mars Township in Posey County and Perry County, Indiana, entered the water and determined no one was in the vehicle. While there were no bodies in the vehicle, there was a concrete block that had been jammed onto the accelerator. It was later determined the vehicle's owner was Lucretia Turner of El Dorado. She told police that her brother, Kilburn Turner, had possession of the vehicle. Kilburn Turner told police the vehicle had been having some mechanical problems, and he parked it in his in-law's residence and was not aware that it was missing. The El Dorado Police Department is assisting White County in investigating this incident. Saturday evening, the White County Sheriff's Department got a 911 call about an ATV accident north of Illinois Route 141. There were two riders hurt. Curtis Martin of Maunee was the driver, and his passenger was Jennifer Strickland of Carmine. Both victims were taken by ambulance to a helicopter landing zone in Norris City and airlifted to an area trauma center. The victims said they were riding south on County Road 600 East when a deer ran into their path. The collision with the deer caused the vehicle to overturn, leaving both the driver and passenger with serious injuries. The Olney Public Library and the local Rotary Club are collaborating to bring a nationally acclaimed mobile exhibit to the area highlighting 9/11, the events of September the 11th, 2001. The 911 Never Forget mobile exhibit was established by the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Stephen Siller was a New York City firefighter who was there on 9/11 and gave his life helping others. His family established the foundation to honor his memory and all those who bravely served in the face of terror that day. Now, the exhibit will arrive in Olney this Wednesday with a procession led by representatives of the Olney Fire Department, Olney Police Department, and Richland County Sheriff's Department. It'll be stationed in the public parking lot across from the courthouse on Main Street through this Saturday. Exhibit officials and local volunteers will be setting up on Wednesday, so no tours will be given that day. Students from Richland County Schools, grades 8 through 12, will tour the exhibit on Thursday. The exhibit will be open to the general public on Friday from 1 to 7 and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission, of course, is free. Through the presentation of artifacts, including actual steel beams from the towers, documentary video, recordings of first responder radio traffic, as well as guided tours by FDNY firefighters, people will learn what took place and the ultimate sacrifice so many made on that day. More news after this.
Are you tired of heavy menstrual cycles? There's nothing normal about heavy bleeding. What if you could undergo an office procedure to stop your heavy bleeding and return to work in just days? Ask the doctors at Asbury & Associates about NovaSure Ablation. This non-invasive procedure is performed in our office, reducing costs for our patients. Here's Dr. David Asbury.
This helps to avoid hysterectomy, and at many times they can have the procedure done on a Friday afternoon in the office and be back to work on Monday morning with no problem, with minimal pain. It will oftentimes eliminate the need of needing a hysterectomy or more extensive surgical procedures in the hospital, and thus not only get them back to taking care of their children and back to work, back to their lives, but also save them a large amount of money.
NovaSure, a quick, safe, and simple procedure to correct your heavy cycles and restart your life. Asbury & Associates, with four locations in Southern Illinois to serve you. Call 618-244-4800 to schedule an appointment.
The Fairfield Coin Club held its 47th annual coin show and auction this past Sunday at Northside Grade School. The Fairfield Coin Club show book was dedicated in memory of Ron Whedon, who was a longtime member of the club. His family was present, and a plaque was presented to them along with scholarships given in Ron's memory. Now, winners of this year's raffle were Kenny Wilson, first place for a 1912 $5 gold Indian. Second place, a 1911 $2.50 gold Indian, goes to Gary Easley. Third place, an 1884 OMS-63 Morgan Dollar to Carl Hoskins. Fourth place prizes of 2017 Silver Eagle were won by Golson Funeral Home, Harold Rush, Brad Davis, Merle Woods, and Maynard Doty. Fifth place prizes were won by Bob Osmond, Danny Stallings, Lynn Harris, Louise Kerner, and Larry Easley. Winner of the penny stacking contest was Riley Titzer with a stack of 4.5 inches. Winning door prizes were Louise Barnett, Daryl Robson, Gary Oliver, Dan Bussler, Carl Hayes, and Larry Cobble. There were 43 auction lots this year with auctioneer Jim Isle and runner Roberta Marshall. Larry Cobble and Clint Hayes kept records and the money. Food service this year was provided by Phil and Joyce Williams. They serve vegetable soup, barbecue, hot dogs, drinks, and dessert. The club's officers are President James Isle, Vice President Larry Cobble, Secretary Treasurer and Burse Chairman Roberta Marshall. Directors at this time are Homer Legg, Jim Thompson, Brad Davis, Maynard Doty, Clint Hayes, and Judy Simmons. The club would like to thank all those folks who helped set up, organize, and attend the 47th Annual Coin Show. Fairfield Coin Club meets the second Sunday of each month at Frontier Community College, Classroom Building West. The doors open at 10 a.m. Everybody's welcome to attend. You can become a member of the Coin Club by attending a meeting or calling Roberta Marshall. The club dues are $2, as they have been since the club started in May of 1967. If you're under the age of 16, your dues are free. See the college next month, November the 12th, for the meeting. Winners have been named in the annual Fairfield Foliage Fall Paintout event. The Best of Show was won by Sherry Thomas of Larson, Wisconsin. Best Watercolor, Spencer Meager of Mount Vernon. Best Oil, Sherry Thomas. Best Pastel, Lorraine McFarland of Rolla, Missouri. Best Other Medium, Spencer Meager. People's Choice, Spencer Meager. Artist's Choice, Sherry Thomas. Country Life Award went to Lawrence Rodelesh of Hanover, Indiana. Albion Citizens Award went to Marty Coulter of Washington, Missouri. The Quick Paint went to Chris Willey of Kansas City, Missouri. Best Representation of Fairfield went to Tammy Dickerson of Belton, Missouri. Amateur Award went to Diane May of Mount Vernon, Illinois. Purchase Award sponsors, Arvis and Wilma Amann, Mary Faye Banker, Carnaby Square, Christy Horning, Jerry and Fran Carter, Michael and Corey Copeland, Lambrick Stock Farms, Dr. and Mrs. Patrick Molt, Dr. and Mrs. Stephen Mitchell, Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Prizer, Kent Reeves, Shirley Churchill and Diane Richards, Diane Robison, Tennant Landscaping, Ron and Becky Tennant, David and Kathy Williams, Tracy Gooch, Withrow. The Spencer Meager Painting Raffle was won by Kelly Dean Smith. Those 6x6 painting winners were Keith Stout, Becky Tennant, Christy Horning, Connie Mitchell, Evelyn Doty, Stephanie Walker, Lisa Kotapasik, Dr. Patrick Molt, Dina Griswold, Carrie Hulbert, Diana Taylor, Leslie Rosenberger, Shirley Churchill, Janet Bryant, and Sharmila Kakak. Crude oil prices fell at ebb yesterday. Local refineries dropped their offering $1 a barrel. Today they're paying $42.75 for a barrel of locally produced crude oil. In local and area deaths, 85-year-old Sisney resident Alice Dean Alky Muggeridge died at 3:25 Sunday afternoon at Deaconess Hospital in Evansville. She was a mother, homemaker, and worked 34 years at Wayne White County's Electric Cooperative in Fairfield. Alky was a 60-year member of the Sisney Christian Church and a member of the Order of Eastern Star, Lodge 970 at Sisney. Survivors include her husband, James H. Sonny Muggeridge, two sons, Gary and wife Tammy Muggeridge, and Jim and wife Vicki Muggeridge, all of Sisney, a sister, Mary Helen Bondi of Paradise Valley, Arizona, three grandchildren, Natalie and husband John Hilliard, Jeff Muggeridge, and Rebecca Muggeridge, all of Sisney, and one great-granddaughter, Alice Hilliard, three sisters-in-law, Pat Bradham, Sue Withrow, and Donna, and husband Tip Butler, all of Fairfield, and several nieces, nephews, and a special niece, Patty Davis of O'Fallon, Missouri. Funeral services for Alky Muggeridge will be 10 o'clock Wednesday morning at Sisney Christian Church. Visitation will be 5 to 8 Tuesday evening at the Hostleton Funeral Home in Sisney. That's 5 to 8 tonight at the Hostleton Funeral Home in Sisney, burial in Sisney Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Sisney Christian Church or a charity of the donor's choice and will be accepted at the Hostleton Funeral Home in Sisney. 56-year-old Carmi resident Barbara A. Ballard died Sunday at Hamilton Memorial Hospital in McLeansboro. She'd been a hairdresser for many years, working out of Reflections Beauty Shop. Survivors include her husband Jim, her daughters Brooke and husband Billy Wagner of Evansville, Bailey and husband Josh Cronin of Carmi, and Brandy Ballard of Carmi. Grandchildren Taylor, Miley, and Evan Cronin, Parks, Cameron, Rossi, and Van Wagner, mother Donna James of Carmi, mother-in-law Dorothy Ballard of Carmi, sisters Melody and husband Mike Sweeney of New Baden, and Gayla and husband Martin Ray Barbary of Carmi. Also surviving are nieces and nephews Whitney, Shaley, Tyler, Daniel, Corey, Amber Dawn, Chris, Rocky, Rusty, Lisa, Matt, Lucas, and Colt, brother and sisters-in-law, Craig and Kevin Ballard, Rhonda Millenbein, Leanne Jones, and Tracy Stoll. She was preceded in death by her father, Donald James, and her father-in-law, C.E. Shorty Ballard. Funeral services for Barbara Ballard will be 11 o'clock Wednesday morning at the Stendebach Family Funeral Home in Carmine, with Nathan Chitwood officiating. Burial will be in Melrose Cemetery at Carmine. Visitation will be tonight, 5 until 8, at the Stendebach Family Funeral Home in Carmine. 84-year-old McLeansboro resident Melvin R. Phipps died Sunday at Hamilton Memorial Hospital in McLeansboro. He was a U.S. Army veteran, having served during the Korean War. He was also owner and operator of Phipps Excavation Service for many years following his military service. Survivors include his wife Maddie Sue Phipps of McLeansboro, a son David and friend Connie Phipps of McLeansboro, a daughter Helen Phipps of Collinsville, a granddaughter Elizabeth Phipps, and one great-granddaughter Bella Phipps. Funeral services for Melvin Phipps will be Thursday, 11 a.m. at the Golson Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Visitation will be 6 to 8 Wednesday evening at Golson's in McLeansboro. Memorials may be made to the Hamilton Memorial Hospital Auxiliary and will be accepted at the Golson Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Rosemary Tucker, 86, of Dahlgren, died Saturday at Mount Vernon Countryside Manor. Survivors include a son, Don, and wife Rhonda Tucker of Wayne City, a daughter, Madonna, and husband Joe Sozak of Mount Vernon, Illinois, 6 grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. Funeral services for Rosemary Tucker will be Wednesday, 10 a.m. at Golson Funeral Home in Dahlgren. Visitation will be 9 o'clock Wednesday morning till the time of service at Golson's in Dahlgren. James D. Fenton, 79, of Bluford, died October the 7th at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. He worked in Wayne City as a young man for Herman Woolever Sawmill, Kistner Feed Mill, and Estelle Barnard and Son. Later, he and his wife moved northwest of Keams, where they continued grain farming and started their dairy operation in 1970. Survivors include his wife, Elizabeth Ann Young Fenton. They raised four children who also survived, David and wife Deborah Fenton of Bluford, Sheila and husband Dwayne Walker of Fairfield, Anita and husband Ron Adcock of Bluford, and Andrea and her husband Chris LaCarica of Bluford. Also grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Lisa and Kenny Hayes and their children, Christopher and Dylan Brown, Joseph and Brittany Fenton and their children, Jesse and Zoya Fenton, and Benjamin LaCarica. He's also survived by his sisters, Jean Kaufman of Hilo, Hawaii, Judy and her husband Steve White, and family of Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, and a brother Mitchell and wife Lila Fenton of Keens, also survived by a number of nieces, nephews, and cousins. Funeral services for James Fenton have been set for 10 o'clock Wednesday morning at the Young Funeral Home in Wayne City. Burial will follow in Thomason Cemetery at Wayne City. Visitation 5 until 8 tonight, Tuesday night, at the Young Funeral Home in Wayne City. Funeral services for Ruby J. Roosevelt, 89 of Albion, will be 10 o'clock this morning at Mount Zion Methodist Church in Albion, with burial in Mount Zion Cemetery. Visitation will be 9 o'clock this morning till the time of service at the church. Memorials may be made to the Mount Zion Methodist Church and will be accepted at Ingram's in Albion. The Serby Funeral Home of DuCoin and the Ingram Funeral Home of Albion is in charge of the arrangements. Funeral services for 75-year-old Fairfield resident Freddie S. Vaughn Sr. will be 11 o'clock this morning at the Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield, with burial in Maple Hill Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Cerebral Palsy Foundation and will be accepted at Johnson and Vaughn in Fairfield. And graveside services for 99-year-old Fredericksburg, Texas resident, White County native Lowell Quindry. Those services have been set for Thursday, 11 a.m. at Maple Hill Cemetery. There will be no visitation. Everyone's asked to go directly to the cemetery. The Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home of Fairfield is in charge of all the arrangements. Well, if you missed any of today's obituaries, click on our website at WFIWradio.com. Our obituary page is updated throughout the day. Reporting for WFIW News, I'm Len Wells.
Where does your corn go after you've grown, cared for, and harvested it? If your corn is sold locally at Valero Renewables, each kernel is used in its entirety to create clean ethanol and co-products that aid in livestock nutrition. We value our partnership with farms across the tri-state and aim to be your first choice when it comes to marketing your corn crop. We offer a variety of marketing solutions and a competitive price year-round. Contact us today for a cash bid or fall VP rates at 812-833-3920. Valero Renewables, Mount Vernon, your local partner in agriculture.
It's senior recognition night for the Edwards County Fighting Lions as they return home this Friday night to face the Johnson City Indians in Black Diamond Conference action. Join me, Nick Snidle, along with Matt St. Ledger as our coverage begins at 6:45 with the Car Corral Pro Sports pregame show on WOKZ 105.9 FM. To find archived games or to listen live online, go to network1sports.com. For exciting high school football each week, it's the Sports Voice of Southern Illinois.
Here's a look at sports from last night in JV football. Fairfield defeated Vianna 26-24. High school volleyball last night, Edwards County came over, beat Fairfield in the big volley for the cure game. 2-0 in the varsity and 2-0 on the JV. High school golf yesterday, sectional action at both the boys and the girls' sides. On the boys' side, they went to Governor's Run-Up in Carlisle. Mount Carmel came out the winner, shot a 310. It was Hillsboro next with 320. Effingham St. Anthony took third place with a 326. Those three teams advanced to state. Also shooting, Waterloo Jabot came in fourth, followed by Hamilton County in fifth, then El Dorado, Redbud, Trico, Nashville, Anna Jonesboro, Litchfield, and Raymond Lincolnwood in that order. Boys individuals going to state. Austin Downing will be heading to state from Hamilton County. From Fairfield, Andrew Stewart shot an 80, and he'll be heading up to state this weekend. Also from Carmi, Ty Barbary, just a freshman, heading to state. The medalist was Blake Golden from Mount Carmel. On the girls' side, over at Alton, it was a Massac County winning with shooting a 336, well, beating Nashville with a 352 and Effingham St. Anthony 358. Some individual state qualifiers on the girls' side from Hamilton County. Kylie Vaughn shot a 79, took third place, and she'll head up to state. The medalist, Millie Lawson from Massac County, shot a 75. On the schedule for today, high school girls tennis at 4 o'clock. Salem's at Fairfield at 6:15 tonight. Fairfield travels to El Dorado for high school volleyball. Also, Sandoval comes to Sisney. Major league playoffs tonight. This afternoon, actually, the NLDS Game 4 at 4:38, Washington Nationals at Chicago Cubs. Tanner Roark on the mound for the Nationals versus Jake Arrieta for the Cubs. Last night in the major leagues, Cubs beat Washington 2-1. They now lead that series 2-1. It was the L.A. Dodgers over Arizona 3-1. L.A. wins that series 3-0. In the American League Division Series, Houston eliminated Boston, beat them 5-4. They win the series 3-1. And the Yankees evened it up against Cleveland. They beat them 7-3 last night. That series now tied 2 games apiece. In the NFL yesterday, it was Minnesota over Chicago 22-17. And in the NHL yesterday, St. Louis beat the Islanders 3-2 in a shootout. It was Colorado over Boston 4-0. New Jersey knocked off Buffalo 6-2. Toronto slipped past Chicago 4-3 in overtime. Same score, Tampa Bay over Washington 4-3 in overtime. Winnipeg beat Edmonton 5-2, and Calgary shut out Anaheim 2-0. Here's a look at the WFIW area weather for today. An 80% chance of showers with a high of 80 degrees. Tonight, rain likely, low of 52. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 65. Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 68, low of 52. Friday, sunny, high of 82 and a low around 60. Saturday, partly cloudy, high of 85, low of 62. Yesterday in Fairfield, had a high of 85, a low of 65. No precipitation in the bucket yesterday. We have picked up, well, the estimates were going to be like half an inch. We've picked up an inch and 7/10 so far today. That gives us 2 inches and 11 hundredths on the year. 26 inches, 3,800 on the year, 2 inches, 11 on the month. Our low this morning was 68, and at 6:37, it is 72. For news that's online when you're online, please go to WFIWradio.com.
Of all of life's twists and turns, it's the ones we don't see coming.